Welcome to those worshiping on Facebook Live. Anybody in the family room? This is week three of our Christmas series titled With Us. And our theme verse for this month is Matthew chapter 1 at verse 23. And here's what it says. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's our theme verse, God with us. And this month we've looked at things that God is with us in the midst of. Week one was with us in our doubts. Last week was with us in our anxiety, very real things. If you missed any of those messages, you can go online at cpcdanville.org and catch up. And this week we cover a big one that all of us can relate with. It's fear. God with us in our fear. This is something we all have. It's also something we can all see in the midst of the Christmas story. Do you realize that upon inspection, the Christmas story is actually full of fear? Mary has fear. Let's look at Mary's fear. It says, but the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid. That's Luke chapter 1 at verse 30. Joseph had fear. At Matthew 1 at verse 20, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid, the angel said, to take Mary home as your wife. Maybe the most well-known fear story in the Christmas story is the shepherds. Look at the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were what? They were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The Christmas story is full of fear. Why? I think it's fear of the unknown. It's fear of the unexpected, and mostly fear of the uncontrollable. When things are beyond our control, we get scared. There's probably something in your life today that's beyond your control, out of your control, that makes you afraid. I made a list of fears. We all have them. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of others' approval, of your sinful past, of your current circumstances, your family conflict or dysfunction, fear of never being married, of being alone, of losing a job, of not having enough money, of your kids getting hurt or making unwise choices or not turning out like you'd hope, fear of financial security, fear of surrendering to God or really anything that's bigger or other than ourselves, fear of sickness, fear of not being able to have kids, not having a family of your own, fear of loss, of divorce, of death. We all have fears. I was thinking, what are my biggest fears? I think my number one fear is something happening to my kids. And for those of you who are parents or grandparents, you could relate to that. The second fear that I wrestle with significantly is fear of failure. People ask me all the time, hey, do you get nervous when you come up here and speak week in and week out? And the answer is, in terms of speaking in front of people, no, I don't get nervous to do that. Certainly not anymore. You do it enough and you have some gifts and so you can use them. But what I do fear each and every week is the fear of failure. I don't want to get up and not do right by God's word. I don't want to fail us in that way. So that one drives me and motivates me and kind of I wrestle with that fear. Not just something happened to my kids or failure. Here's the third one. You might not expect this. I really fear food courts. They just freak me out. There's just too many choices, and it paralyzes me. I don't know about you. We all have fears. God knows this, and he wants to help us with fear. I think this is why the most oft-repeated command in all of Scripture, did you know this, is do not be afraid. 366 times it appears in Scripture. Do not be afraid or fear not. It's one for every day of the year plus an extra for leap year. I think God knew how much we would struggle with fear and long for something to come in, something to break in and drive our fears out. That's why I love the verse 1 John 4:18. It says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, and that's the love of God, and only the love of God, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. There's something in all of us that associates fear and punishment, especially when we think about encountering an authority figure. Does that make sense? Let me give you a few examples just to get you nodding and understanding that this is really something that happens. If you got a letter this week that had your name on it from the IRS. Would you think that's good news or bad news? That's bad news. That's an authority figure you don't want as fear. You fear punishment. This week, and maybe you do this in your house, this week we just had to have a little family tune-up, so I called, and Bridget and I called together a family meeting. We called our boys together. We broke out the chore chart. We said, we need a little tune-up here. And when we told our sons, tonight we're having a family meeting, do you think they thought that was good news or bad news? Here's another example. Do you guys remember back in like junior high when you were in middle school, and there was that intercom system, and in like first period, someone came on the intercom and they would say, will the following students please report to the principal's office? And they would list off some names, like 5, 6, 7 kids, and maybe one or two of them in your class slowly rose and started to shuffle toward the door. Do you remember like the audible sound in the room? Everybody would make the sound. Let's make the sound together. Ooh, yeah. Now, do you think those people were going to the principal's office thinking it was good news or bad news? Bad news. Something about encountering an authority figure that gives us fear of punishment. Somewhere along the way, that got transferred to God. And everybody, when they encounter God in the Christmas story, is afraid. But God says, it's not like that with me. It's not like that with Christmas. He says, that the angel says, I bring you good news. Yeah, God is coming. I bring you good news. And it's great joy, and it's for all the Savior. It's not punishment. It's actually a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And so what's the big idea? If you're a note taker, you might take out your notes and just write this down. Here's the big idea at the top of your outline. Invite God's perfect love in, and he will drive your fear out. It's a great exchange. Invite God's perfect love in, and he will drive your fear out. You might go, how does this happen? I'm going to give you 5 ways that him being with us and having his perfect love come into our lives actually drives fear out. Here are 5 ways God is with us and his perfect love drives out our fear. Number one, if you're a note taker, he catches you. He catches you. When you're in the midst of fear and you feel like you're sinking or falling, he catches you and he catches me. And this is a great reminder and a great encouragement to me. I'm mindful of a story. It's in Matthew chapter 14 where Jesus and the disciples are doing ministry together. Jesus takes a break, goes up on a mountainside, prays with his Father. The disciples head out on a boat onto the Sea of Galilee. And like often happens, a storm comes up on the Sea of Galilee. You're going to notice today that I'm telling 2 stories about the disciples being up on a boat and a storm coming up quickly on the Sea of Galilee. And you might go, gosh, why is that? I hear that or I see that in Scripture. And the reason why, it's a geographical reason. The Sea of Galilee, it's about the same size as Lake Tahoe. It's such a really good reference because Lake Tahoe is surrounded by mountains. And the Sea of Galilee is 100 feet below sea level. And the mountains that surround it go up to 10,000 feet. Mount Hermon is 10,000 feet above. And so you've got this chute where wind can come rushing in and cause quick storms on the sea. And so the disciples are out on the sea. Jesus is up on a mountainside praying. He's looking at the disciples out on the sea, and he notices a storm come up. And so Jesus goes walking out on the water. We'll pick up the story here in Matthew 14. It says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. This is the Jesus walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were, there's the word again, terrified. Same Greek word. It's where we get fear to great fear. That's what it means. Literally translated in the Greek, it's megaphobia. Megaphobia. Some of your translations might say they were sore afraid. I love that one because, and actually someone actually said terrified. They said sore afraid earlier. They shouted that out. I love that one because that means you're so afraid it hurts. Have you ever been so afraid of something that it actually hurt? This is where they are. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. There are actually 2 people who walked on water in this story. But when he saw the wind, so he took his eyes off of Jesus and onto the wind, onto the circumstances, onto the waves, onto the storm, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. But I love this. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. When we're sinking, when we're falling in our fears, this is the way God shows his perfect love to us. He catches you. He catches me. It is I. You don't have to be afraid. I'm here to catch you. Have you ever been there before? Sinking, falling in the midst of your fears. Maybe a doctor handed you a diagnosis and it drained the color from your face. Maybe you were served divorce papers. Maybe you heard about the death of a loved one or a close friend. Maybe you were dealing with a situation that was so difficult and, again, so beyond your control that you felt like you were sinking and falling in the midst of your fears. God catches you. God catches you. I don't know if you noticed this last week, there was a multimedia phenomenon that kind of took place. And if you didn't notice, I'm going to show it to you. Over a two-day period, it started from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, two-day period, 48 hours, a movie trailer, and actually it's a Christian movie coming out next Easter, a movie trailer came out on a movie called Breakthrough, and it set a record that in 2 days it went viral and had over 30 million views. And then within another day and a half, it was up to over 50 million views. And the movie is called Breakthrough. I want to show it to you now and then explain why. Take a look.
Rise and shine. Breakfast is ready in 10 minutes. And don't make me come back up there. This is our town. It's a close-knit community, the kind of place where everyone knows everyone.
Hi, Miss Jay.
Hey, how are you girls? And we're always there for each other.
Nice sermon, Pastor.
What do you guys have on for the rest of the day?
Well, John has a basketball game.
Yeah, I've seen this guy hoop it up around here. This kid is so lit.
Text your mom tomorrow and tell her when and where to pick you up. And don't do anything stupid.
Love you guys.
Boys, get off the ice!
We're training for the Olympics, sir!
Cindy! John!
He's been underwater for more than 15 minutes.
It's gonna be a recovery, not a rescue.
I got something.
We got him!
We've done everything medically possible. There's nothing more we can do. No.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
A 14-year-old St. Charles boy who spent 15 minutes trapped underwater is continuing to fight for his life.
I don't believe John will survive the night.
You don't know my son. He is a fighter. So I need you to be the best for John, and you just let God do the rest. You are my pride and joy. I can't wait to see you shoot those baskets and run up and down the court again.
The Smith family asked for one thing. Please pray for John.
In the water that day, I was ready to give up, but then I hear this voice telling me, go back. Either I'm nuts
or God's talking to you.
But I don't believe in God.
I believe, but maybe that only goes so far with something like this.
I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to walk alongside you for as long as it takes.
Did you see the Facebook page? It's gone viral.
Tommy?
I hope he's gonna be okay.
We're not gonna get through this alone. Whatever you have for me, for Brian, for John, I surrender. I will call upon
your name. So that movie's gonna be great. I showed that to you for two reasons. Number one, you might not know this, but the screenplay for that movie was written by a man who grew up in this church, went to Rock. He was a friend of mine. He graduated from Monta Vista High School. His name's Grant Neoporti. He married a woman who grew up in this church, Jill Heatherly, the Heatherly family, and that's pretty cool. So I'm gonna try to reel him in to one day make an appearance here when we show that movie. You can pray with me on that. And Grant, if you're watching, come to Daddy. Let's do it. That's the first reason I showed it to you. The second reason is this. That trailer touches upon a nerve that is really our deepest fears, and that is something happening to our kids or to one of our loved ones. And I want to tell you that actually that does happen in life. Bad things do happen. Tragedies happen in a broken world. And in the midst of that, we are filled with fears that make us feel like we're sinking or falling, and God catches us. He comes to us and he catches us. But we're going to encounter difficult things. Jesus said it this way in John 16 at verse 33. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. One of the ways he overcomes our fears by his perfect love is he catches us when we feel like we're sinking. Here's a second way. He comforts you. He catches you and he comforts you. One of my favorite psalms, and perhaps yours too, is Psalm 23. We hear it a lot at funerals, memorial services. I don't hear it taught very often in church, but Psalm 23 at verse 1, it says this: The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. I lack nothing, he says. This is David writing this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So when there's places that I need to stop and enjoy, he makes me lie down there. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. When my soul is in need of refreshment, maybe I'm riddled with fear, he refreshes me. He guides me along the right path. When the Lord is with me, when I am with the Lord, he's going to guide me around right paths. And he's going to do it for his name's sake. It's for my good, yes, but ultimately it's for his glory. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know that Jesus is your good shepherd? Do you realize that? Someone might need to hear that this morning. Jesus is your good shepherd. And in the midst of whatever you're dealing with, whatever fear, whatever life situation or circumstances, he is there for you. He is your good shepherd. David goes on and explains how this shepherd comforted him. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The way that a shepherd would bring comfort is he always had a staff. It was a large stick that actually looked like a gigantic, I can say this seasonally, like a big candy cane, minus the red and white stripes. So it was long and it had a hook at the top of it. That was a shepherd's staff. And if he turned it around, that was a symbol, and David talks about this, your rod and your staff protect me, they comfort me. The way that he did that is the rod and the staff was a symbol of direction and protection. The direction was the pointy side of the rod where the shepherd would direct his sheep away from trouble or into green pastures. He would direct, but then the curved side of the shepherd's staff was to protect. If a sheep was wandering off, he would hook him or hook her and guide her back. This is a way that a good shepherd brings comfort. And David says, my good shepherd, the Lord, comforts me with his rod and his staff, and he can do the same for you. This last week, I had a conversation with a buddy. It was the first time we had caught up in a while. And I said, hey, how are you doing? He says, I'm actually not doing so well. I lost my brother last week. And I just said, I'm so sorry. And I could see it on his face, on his countenance. I said, I'm so sorry. How are you doing? He says, I'm doing okay, but the waves of grief, they come, and I'm grieving. And I tried to remind my friend that Jesus is your good shepherd, just like he's been my good shepherd in my greatest times of need, and yours too. This is one of the ways that he comforts us. And it reminded me of a story of when David in Psalm 30 talked about feeling himself going down into the pit. And this was not like a physical pit. This was an emotional pit. This was a pit that was filled with fears and filled with anxiety. And he cried out to God and he says, please keep me from going down to this pit. What good could come from me going down here again? And the Lord moved. And here's what it says in Psalm 30, verse 11 and 12. This is David's testimony to what God did. You turned my mourning into dancing. You removed my sorrow and you clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. I believe someone needs to hear that this morning, that God, in his comfort as a good shepherd, can turn your mourning into dancing again. He can remove your sorrow and he can clothe you with joy so that your heart will not be able to stay silent. You'll just sing his praises. The Lord catches you and he comforts you. This is the way his perfect love drives out fear in our lives. I see a third thing in Scripture. Here it is. He calms you. Whew. He calms you. Another example of Jesus and the disciples going out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee comes in Mark chapter 4, and he's out there, and a quick storm comes up again on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is tired, and so he's sleeping on a cushion in the back of the boat. We touched upon this last week a little bit. Peter comes down and he screams at Jesus, "Don't you care if we drown?" Because the storm waves were coming over the bow of the boat, and they were filled with great fear. And here's how Jesus responded. Mark 4, 39 and 40. Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet." Said to the waves, to the storm, "Quiet. Be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" You ever been in a situation where quickly in your life a storm arose? And as that storm arose, you could feel your fear, your anxiety, your blood pressure in some cases rising along with it. It might be a financial storm, a relational storm, a family storm, a health storm. And you just feel the fear rising. I was in one of those a few years ago. I mentioned this story once before. I'll tell a slightly different version this time. But I walked into Costco to do a quick run with my three boys one time. And we've done it many times. This was a few years back. They were 11, 9, and 7, our three boys. So we walked in, and I was doing a quick food loop. They ran off to look at sporting equipment and cars and stuff like that. And I did my food loop, and I lost track of them, but I knew they were together for about 15, 20 minutes. And as I was coming back to where you stand in the lines, two of them, my oldest two, Trevor and Owen, came back, and they said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I'm getting in the line. We're about ready to go." I said, "Where's Cole?" They said, "Hey, we haven't seen him in a few minutes." I said, "Okay, we'll go grab him and bring him back. And I'm going to be here in the line." So they went out, and they came back about 5 minutes later, and they said, "We can't find him." And I go, "Ha, ha, ha. Do another lap. And don't come back without your brother." And so they went out, and they came back about 5 minutes later, and they go, "Dad, we haven't seen him." So then I could feel, as this storm arose, I could feel my fears, my blood pressure rising very, very quickly. I went to a manager. He called all the walkie-talkies, so all the managers started circling Costco looking for my son, Cole. Didn't find him. So then the general manager of the store could see my reaction and could see what was at stake. And he says, "I'm going to call the police and I'm going to shut the doors of the store." And they did. They called the police and they basically closed the door. And about 2 minutes later, a police officer arrived. The total time now that I hadn't seen Cole was at least 40 minutes. And my greatest fear was that someone grabbed him and walked out of the store with him. My mind immediately went to that fear. Maybe when you're in the midst of fear, maybe you're just, it goes to that level. Storm quickly rises. And calm is not what you're feeling. So they shut down the store. The police officer arrives a few minutes later, and he and the general manager and I and the other, we go into the manager's office, and they start putting us on, they show the screens of the time. There's a camera on the door. You can see everybody going in and going out. And so we got to the time where we walked in. You could see us all walking in. We followed that frame by frame. We saw about 20 minutes later that Cole actually walked back into the frame, and he was carrying like a remote control car and cereal, the keys to his heart. And he didn't see us, and so he turned back and walked back into the store. And then we didn't see him again, and then we watched the door the entire time, frame by frame, for the next several minutes until we were starting to walk out, waiting for him. So it's like we never saw him go in or go out. Now, as we went through that process, it had been over 1 hour since we had seen Cole. And they had canvassed the entire store, every inch, with like 30 people, and nobody saw him. At that point, the police officer standing behind me said, "Actually, could you do me a favor? Could you go back to where the little boy flashes on the screen?" And so they rewound it back to like that 20-minute mark. And he says, "Actually, hold on a second. I recognize that boy. I just talked to him about 40 minutes ago on Brookside Drive." And I go, "Hold on a second." He goes, "Yeah, I pulled off. I saw a boy walking. He was carrying a big stick." like Huck Finn. And he was walking pretty fast, and I stopped, and I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, I'm good. He goes, where are you going? He goes, oh, I'm walking home. I live right around the corner. And I didn't think much of it. I said, okay. And I'm like, he walked home? We didn't see him go out of the store. He must have passed right beside someone. So I called my neighbor. I said, can you walk into our house and call out for Cole and see if he's in our house? So he calls me back 1 minute later, and he says, I got him. I go, are you sure? He said, he's literally in my arms right now. And not until that very moment did calm even begin to be restored to my life. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that where you could, that is the one where I physically remember my fear and my blood, it just, it was getting to the point. And here in this story, the disciples are getting to that point and they are fearing for their very lives. And Jesus basically shushes the storm. He calms the disciples by calming the storm. He shushes the storm. You've probably heard Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Jesus said that to the storm. That's how powerful he is. Initially, the disciples were actually terrified of the power of Jesus in that moment. But shortly thereafter, they realized, oh, if we're in the presence of Jesus, everything's okay. If we're in his arms, he can calm us. So Jesus doesn't just catch you. He doesn't just comfort you. He calms you in the midst of your storms. And in so doing, his perfect love for you can drive your fear out. I see a fourth thing in Scripture that he does. He gives you confidence. He gives you confidence. I don't know about you, but when someone shows up in your life, it could be an employee or a family member or a friend, the next time you are in need or the next time fears arise and that person is in there, you feel confidence in that person. You might feel more confidence in yourself because that person is in your life or is close to you or is fighting for you. And in Psalm 27, we see David making another case for the confidence that he has in God. Look at Psalm 27 at verse 1. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Tell me, who shall I fear? Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear, though war break out against me. And sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes we feel like war is breaking out against me, like the foes are stacking up. It could be the foe of addiction. It could be the foe of a divorce. It could be someone who's out to get you at work. It could be a health situation. But we feel like war is stacking up against us. And here's what David said. Even then, I will be confident. I will be confident. For the rest of that psalm, he explains how the situation is beyond his control, and he's tempted to feel fear. But here's how he wraps up that psalm, verse 13 and 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's not going to be on the other side of heaven. I'm going to see the Lord show up now. Wait for the Lord, he encourages himself. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. See, God shows up and he gives you, he gives me, he gives us confidence. And one of the reasons why is because of his track record. He's been doing it since the beginning of time. He did it when he chose Israel to be his own. He did it when he promised a soon coming Savior. He did it when he provided his son. He did it when he forgives people through his son, you and I and others. See, I put it this way. The best indicator of future performance is past performance. You know this. The best indicator of future performance is past performance. And the one person in our lives that we know has perfect past performance and perfect love is the Lord. And he will show up and he gives us confidence. That's why I love Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 16. It says this, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we may find or that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. His perfect love comes in, it gives us confidence, and it drives fear out. So he catches you, he comforts you, he calms you, he gives you confidence. And here is the final one, number five. He comes to you. This is the most amazing thing about God. This is the message of Christmas. He comes to you. He comes to you. He comes to me. He doesn't stay up in heaven and say, clean up your life and then you can come this way. He doesn't point and judge and condemn. He doesn't say, once you get rid of your fears, then you can earn my appreciation or attention or approval or affection. He doesn't say that. He comes to us. He comes to you. In a relationship where there's conflict, where something goes wrong, if you think about this in your marriage, if you think about this with a friend, if you think about this with a coworker, in a relationship where there's conflict, the strongest person always moves first. They always initiate the reconciliation. In our relationship with God, where something went very wrong, namely our sins, He always moves first. He comes to us. He comes to you. He comes back to you. Even when we wander off the path, like many of us have, sometimes for long seasons, decades sometimes, He still comes to you. And His perfect love says, I will show up. I will drive out your fears. I will always come to you. That's just our good Heavenly Father. And one of my favorite aspects of Him coming to you and my aspects, favorite aspects of the gospel is, if you think about it, I've told a couple examples today that touch on the deepest fear of something happening to our kids, or the deepest fear of something happening to my own child. God didn't accidentally almost lose His Son. The truth of the gospel is God gave His Son for you and for me. It's incredibly powerful that He gave. Look at John 3, 16 and 17. We read these earlier. For God so loved the world that He gave. He didn't lose Him. He didn't lose track of Him for an hour. He didn't almost have Him, His life taken in a drowning accident. He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And why did He do it? Look at verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Do you realize God's not out to condemn you? He's not out to punish you. This is, now we're back to the fear having to do with punishment. The first thing that I said to Cole when we got back home and I wrapped him in my arms, I said, I love you. And then I just looked, got down, I said, and he could tell that something was wrong. I said, why did you leave? Why did you walk home? By the way, we live 3.6 miles from Costco. Why did you leave? And you know what he said? I thought I was in trouble because I wandered off. I thought I was going to get punished. So I hustled home. And I said, oh, we will never leave you. I will always search for you. I will never stop. I will always come for you. This is the perfect love of our Father in heaven. He will always come to us. And it's not to punish us. It's to provide for us. It's not to hurt us or to harm us. It's to give us hope and help and healing and joy. And when that message of His perfect love for you gets into your heart, it drives out your fears. So the last question is, how do we get it? It's real simple. Invite God's perfect love in, and He will drive your fear out. There's a verse that explains this process very, very literally. It's in Revelation chapter 3 at verse 20. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock, and that's your heart's door. And He's going, will you let me in? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, that's the door of your heart, I will come in. So if you're riddled with fear here this morning, open your heart's door and God will come in, and His perfect love will drive out your fears. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together.